إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى، وخير الحدي حج محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، so now inshallah ta'ala we've gone through the concepts of Allah's names, His attributes, and we've also given an example of the kalam of Allah and the Quran being the kalam of Allah. And we've delved into a very basic level one refutation of the Ash'aris. Of course, much more could be said, but we're very limited in time. But I do refer brothers to and sisters to research for yourselves and read for yourself and find books of the ulama that you can read and research. I mean, we have, for example, this book, The Creed of the Pious Predecessors, the people of Hadith, by the great Imam As-Sabuni. Now inshallah, but you know, this has been published, then there is Mountains of Knowledge. Also, this is a creed of a number of the Salaf. Also, we have Foundations of the Sunnah by Imam Ahmed. You know, so is Sharh al-Sunnah, or the explanation of the Sunnah, or the creed, by Imam al-Barbahari. So there's many sufficient books in the English language for brothers and sisters to refer to for further statements and further refutations of the heretical sects amongst the Muslims. But for now, inshallah, we'll take a few statements from the Salaf to show that what we have mentioned is the Aqidah of the Salaf, and also to show that the Wajhud Dilala. What's Wajhud Dilala, Akhi? I forget your name? Arshad. What is Wajhud Dilala? Remember? For what? Extraction of proof, or the understanding of the proofs. The understanding of the proofs. So the Wajhud Dilala, the understanding of the various proofs from the Quran and Sunnah that we got. We are going to prove that this was the understanding of the Salaf. So the Wajhud Dilala that we have got from these dala'il, from these evidences, is the same as the Wajhud Dilala that the Salaf got. The same understanding that they had from these ayat. So if we take the first statement, where Imam al-Awza'i, please notice this death date here, 157 after Hijri, he said, I asked Az-Zuhri, died 124, after Hijrah, and Makhul about the verses pertaining to the attributes. So they said, leave them as they came. Relayed by Al-Nisa'i, Inshallah, Usul Ahl Sunnah, number 735. So, he's just saying, leave these names and attributes as they came. Okay, or both of these said, Zuhri and Makhul said, just leave them as they came. Don't change them, don't interpret them, don't deny them, don't liken them to the creation, and so on. just leave them as they came. Then came the innovation of takleef. People started asking how Allah's attributes are. So Al-Walid ibn Muslim, he said, I asked Imam Malik, died 179 after Hijra, Al-Awza'i, we've already seen, he died 157 after Hijra, Layth ibn Sa'ad, died 175 after Hijra, and Sufyan al-Thawri, who died 167 after Hijra, or some say 161 after Hijra. I asked these scholars, 1, 2, 3, 4 scholars, about the report concerning the attributes of Allah. So they all said, leave them as they came without asking how. So leave them as they came without asking how. What does this mean? It means exactly what it says. Leave them as they came. Okay? If the people claim that what this means is denying the meaning, this is rubbish and batil. Why? Because if I said to you, Allah created Adam with his two hands, it means Allah created Adam with his two hands. Leave them as they came. Okay? Leave them as they came. Don't deny the meaning. Don't deny anything from it, the wording. Don't make resemblance. Don't make comparison. Don't ask how. Just leave them as they came. And then because of the innovation of asking how, they began to refute that by saying, leave them as they came without asking how. So they said, notice brothers, they said, leave them as they came. Okay? Leave them as they came. If they didn't know what this sentence means, that what this sentence means, Allah created Adam with his two hands, if they didn't know what this sentence means, they would have not said, leave them as they came. What they would have said is, leave the wording as it came, but we don't know what it means. That's what they would have said. It's necessary, because the first thing that comes into your head, when you say, leave them, or sorry, when Allah says, Allah created Adam with his two hands, it means Allah created Adam with his two hands. As Allah says in the Quran. So if we don't know what two hands, what the word yadain signifies or implies, as they claim, then they wouldn't have just said, leave them as they came, they would have said, leave the wording as it came. And deny the meaning. Is that clear? Is that clear? Because the word yadain has a meaning. It has a meaning. It means two hands. And that's why we can translate it from the Arabic language into the English language as two hands. Okay? Because we know what the word means. It means hands. But how Allah's hands are, we don't know. That's why it says, without asking how. If we didn't know what the word means, like al-Islam means, we don't know what al-Islam means, we don't know what the word itself means. Okay? We don't know what it means or what it signifies or whatever. Or the letter X, for example. X. We don't know what X signifies. No one knows what X signifies or means. Right? So, it would have been obligatory, if we didn't know what it means, to say, if someone said, what is X, Nabil? The first thing I would say is, what do you, or sorry, if someone said, how is X? The first thing you would say is, what do you mean by X? What is X? We don't even know what X is. But, as we see in the next, before we go to those statements, Imam al-Zahabi, died 748 after Hijra. Now, I'm not bringing Zahabi as one of the Salaf, because he died quite late, 748 Hijra. Even though these people, they can only bring statements from, from later generations. They've never been famous in the first 300 years. But we're using Zahabi's understanding of those evidences or the statements by the ulama, by the Salaf. And we can come to exactly the same conclusion. Okay? So, Azadi, Imam Azadi, he said, I say, Malik in his time was the Imam of the people of Medina. Al-Thawri, Sufyan al-Thawri, was the Imam of Kufa. Al-Awza'i was the Imam of the people of Damascus. And Layth was the Imam of the people of Egypt. And they were from the kibar atba'i tabi'in. They were from the senior of the atba'i tabi'in. Who the atba'i tabi'in? The third generation of Muslims. He says, and this report is a consensus. He's referring to the report that we just mentioned. This one there. He says, this report is a consensus, an ijma' upon this, with the absence of Muhammad ibn al-Hassan ibn al-Shaybani, who died 189 Hijrah. He was a scholar of Iraq, the faqih of Iraq. So what Imam al-Zahabi is saying is, if Muhammad ibn al-Hassan al-Shaybani has said the same thing, this would have been an ijma'. Yes? So if we confirm something that Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani said exactly the same thing, this would be an ijma'. But Azhabi did not know that Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani said exactly the same thing. In fact, not only did he say the same thing, but he himself quoted an ijma'. He was a student, one of the former students of Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh. So I asked those people who claim to follow Abu Hanifa and the Hanafi madhab, why do they not take the understanding of this statement as well? From al-Shaybani. He says that the scholars from the East and the West are all united upon having iman in the Qur'an and in the ahadith that are related by the precise reliable narrators, the Qur'an, from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning having iman, the scholars from the East and West are all united upon having iman in the Qur'an and the authentic hadith. That's what he said. Concerning Allah's attributes, there's a mistake in the slides. Concerning Allah's attributes without explanation or resemblance. Without explanation, brothers and sisters, without resemblance. How did these people dare to affirm or claim that they are from the Hanafi madhab when they don't follow the former student of Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh? But he says they don't explain it without explanation, without resemblance. So they say, how many power today? No explanation does. Whoever explains anything from them this day has left that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon and has split from the jama'ah. Okay? They have split from the jama'ah. It's not a party difference of opinion, brothers. No. He has split from the jama'ah. For they neither described nor explained, he continues, but rather they gave verdict with what is in the book and the sunnah, then remained silent. Whoever speaks with the view of Jahm, meaning Jahm ibn Safwan, has split from the jama'ah because he describes him with attributes that are nothing. And his latest statement, whoever speaks with the view of Jahm, shows that the explanation he's talking about when he said without explanation or resemblance, we have Imam and all this, without explanation or resemblance, is the explanation of the Jahmiyya. Okay? Is the important point to note.
The explanation of the Jahmiyyah, because the philosophical deviated minds of some people, as was said to me just the other day, he claimed that this explanation meant whether the explanation is literal or metaphorical. Because you can obviously explain things literally, or you can explain it metaphorically. So he claimed that this explanation, when he said concerned, you know, what have we married it without explanation, he claimed, because Ibn Taymiyyah mentions that this explanation is the explanation of the Jahmiyyah, so he claimed, look, Ibn Taymiyyah is distorting the meaning of what he's saying. But no, that's not the case. Why? Because straight after that he says, whoever speaks with the view of Jahm has split from the Jama'at. It shows that the explanation that he's talking about is the view of Jahm ibn Safwan. That explanation, meaning the distortion. Is that clear? Good. So, we know that Muhammad ibn al-Hassan al-Shaybani, he agreed with all the others. Leave them as they are without asking how. Leave them as they are without asking how. They were on one and the same thing. They had, so therefore, if four of them said this, and they were the main scholars of the Athwaq Tabi'in, and now we found out that the fifth scholar remaining has also said it, what does that imply for God? It is an ijma. So what is the ijma? What does it mean when we say ijma, Imran? It is definitely the haq. Why? What's the proof of that? Asif. My ummah will never unite. Never have ijma upon misguidance. And also he said, my ummah will never unite except on the haq. So it shows that when the ulama of Islam, they have united, then what does that mean? It means it's ijma and it must be the truth. No difference of opinion, brothers. We can't sit here and claim there should be a difference of opinion. Ijma does not mean every single individual of the ummah, no. Why? Because only those who can voice an opinion are those who have knowledge. Person doesn't have knowledge, he can't voice an opinion. It's just his own thing, right? Person who knows, he and they are the ulama, their ijma is the thing that counts. And hence we have the five of the greatest scholars of that time, all unanimously agreed on this point. We have Rabi'atul Ra'i. Rabi'atul Ra'i. His father, just a little introduction to Rabi'a ibn Abi Abd al-Rahman. He died 136 after Hijrah. His father went away. I think he was on jihad or something. And while the mother was pregnant, while the mother was pregnant with Rabi'a ibn Abi Abd al-Rahman, and then he went to, he left some money and he said, take care of this money. I'm just paraphrasing, I can't really remember the whole story, but just as a, you know, side point. Just paraphrasing. He went away, he left some money, and he said to the mother, or his wife, he said, when, basically, make good use of this money. And after so many years, he comes back. And he says, where's my son, Rabi'a al-Ra'i? You know, he's in the masjid. So he goes to the masjid, and he finds a person giving a das. He finds a sheikh, a scholar, who's giving a das. And he found that it was actually, he found out, he said, who is this great sheikh? And he found out that it was his own son. So he went back to his wife and said, you've done well. She goes, basically the money that you gave, I spent it in his education so that Wallahi alhamdulillah became a scholar. That was Rabi'a al-Ra'i, just a general, you know, very, very basic kind of thing. paraphrasing it, of course. Here the sheikh, or the teacher, is Imam Malik, rahmatullah alayh. He died 136 after Hijrah. All these are in the slides, by the way. He says, Al-Istawa غير مجهول والكيف غير معقول ومن الله الرسالة وعلى الرسول البلاغ وبلاغ وعلينا القبول أو كما قال roughly what he said, which means istawa is not unknown, it's not majhool, we're not jahil of it. We know what istawa is. Istawa is known. And how? Well, it is غير معقول. We can't comprehend it. Our akhlas cannot, our intellect cannot comprehend it. So we don't know how. From Allah is the message, and upon the messenger is to convey it, and upon us is to accept it. Related by Al-Alikai, Shara Usul Ahl Sunnah, number 665. So what does he say? He starts off by saying, istawa is not unknown. What does this mean? If we know what istawa is, we know istawa. Istawa ma'lum, it's well known in fact. Ghayr majhul, it's not unknown. And then he continued by saying, how is unknown. How Allah made this istawa, we can't comprehend it. The point is, the fact that he says istawa is unknown, it proves that they knew what the meaning of istawa was. It does not prove, as these people say, with the sickness in their heart, may Allah guide them. When they say that this statement doesn't prove that the meaning is known, they said this statement proves that the fact that Allah made istawa is known, but we don't know what it means. You know? Which is absolute rubbish. Why? Because you can't say alif lam mim ghayr majhool, alif lam mim. We're not jahil of it. Of course we're jahil of al-Islam. We don't know what al-Islam is. And also, if we don't know what something is, it's not even, there's no point in asking how that thing is. Because you don't know what it is in the first place. So if I said, for example, this word X, or this letter X, it signifies something. This letter X signifies something. But none of you can understand what that letter X signifies. And then one of the brothers, who came late maybe in the bus, and they didn't hear the whole statement, so they came to me and they said, how is X? How is X? I would not reply, you know, how, we don't know how. I would firstly say, we don't know what X is in the first place. How can you say how it happened? Is that clear? Yeah? We don't know what X is. How can you say how? You can't ask how because you don't know what it is in the first place. But if you know what X is, for example, just say I said X signifies power, then you can say, how is this X? How is this power? Because you know what it is, it's power in the first place. Is that clear? In exactly the same way, Imam Malik, the student of Rabi'ah al-Ra'i, the student of Rabi'ah ibn Abi Abdurrahman, who died, Imam Malik died in 179 Hijrah. A person came to him, and he said, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, kayf istawa. He said, Ar-Rahman, meaning Allah, he made istawa. He rose over his throne. Istawa over his throne. How did he make istawa? Imam Malik says, He followed his teacher in this. In different words, he said, Al-Istawa Ma'lum. Istawa is known. Wal-Kayf Majhul. And how is unknown. Wal-Iman bihi wajibun. And to have Iman in it is obligatory. To have faith in it is obligatory. Wasu'al anhu bid'ah, and to ask questions about it is an innovation. So, like I said, and then he talks to the questioner. By the way, the narrator said that his face was red, you know, and he got very angry. You could tell anger from his face. And then he said to the questioner, I do not think except that you are an evil man. So he ordered that he be expelled. That he be expelled from the mosque where he's teaching. The point is, like I said, if we didn't know what istawa was in the first place, he would have said istawa ma'lum, istawa is known. What he would have said is, istawa ghair ma'lum, istawa is not known. We don't know what it is. And likewise, he would have said, what kayf majhul, how is unknown? Because if you don't know what it is in the first place, there's no point in saying we don't know how. Because you don't even know what it is in the first place. Is that clear? Good. Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahmatullah alayhi, who died 198 after Hijrah, he said, everything that Allah describes himself with in his book, then its recitation is its explanation. Its recitation is its explanation without asking how or resembling. When Allah says, Allah's hands, Allah created Adam with his two hands, it means Allah created Adam with his two hands. The recitation is its explanation. The recitation is its explanation. You don't deny the recitation or what the meaning of the recitation is. The recitation is its explanation. Allah created Adam with two hands. Full stop. Period. Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, he said to Allah belong names and attributes that occur in his book and that his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related to the nation, to the ummah. It is not possible for anyone to rudd them, to refuse them. So the one who contradicts this after evidence has been established against him, then he is a kafir, he is a disbeliever. And as for him who said this before the establishment of the proof, then he is excused due to ignorance, because knowledge of that cannot be attained through the intellect. So he says, so we affirm these attributes and we negate tashbih, likening Allah's creation, as Allah negated it, so I say, laysa kamithlihi shay', there is nothing like him. So we say we affirm these attributes. We affirm them. We don't deny them. If it was necessary to deny the meaning, he would have said, we affirm the wording of the attributes, but not the meaning of the attributes. Just like when he said, without resemblance. Because he knew that we have to deny resemblance. So he said, we negate resemblance. If he was to believe that we negate the ma'na or the meaning of the word as well, he would have said it. But you don't find that he said it. Rather, he said, we affirm these attributes. Imam Nu'ayn ibn al-Hammad, who was the scholar or the teacher of Imam Bukhari, the sheikh, one of the sheikhs of Bukhari, he said, whoever resembles Allah to his creation as has committed kufr or has disbelieved. Whoever denies what Allah has described himself with has also committed disbelief or kufr. Whatever he has described himself with or his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there is no tashbih in it. There is no tashbih in it. So if Allah says he has two hands, there is no tashbih in that. Like we said, Allah's attributes are perfect. If you think there's tashbih in that, you are the ones that have the problem in your intellect and in your minds. Just accept the attributes without denying anything from them. But recognizing that Allah's hands are in a way to depict His Majesty. We don't know how. Allah lives, and man lives. But man's living is limited. Allah's living is perfect. We don't know how Allah lives. Allah hears in a way that befits His Majesty. We don't know how. But man hears and sees as well. But he's limited in hearing and seeing. But Allah's names and attributes are perfect. They are different. We don't know how. We don't resemble. Just like the Kalam of Allah we discussed this morning. Allah's Kalam is in a way that befits His Majesty. We don't ask how. So do not deny anything from the meaning either. And we shall finish, inshallah, this particular section with quite a long statement of the Imam, the Muhaddith, who everybody accepts. Imam At-Tirmidhi, rahmatullah alayhi, who died 274 after Hijrah. He is the author of which book? Sunan of At-Tirmidhi. He is the author of At-Tirmidhi. Now he was a person who relayed. He may not have been a muhaqqiqeen in the field of aqidah, not muhaqqiqeen, so a researching scholar in that sense. But he was definitely one of the imams of relaying, the imams of hadith and athar, relaying things. No one can deny that. What did he relay? He said, it has been stated by more than one person from the people of knowledge regarding this hadith, he's talking about the hadith of Allah's Nuzul, his descent, in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah descends in the last third of the night, and he asks, who of you has got something to ask, and I will answer it, something roughly to that meaning. So what the people do is they say, no, Allah doesn't descend, because that might be likening Allah to His creation. We say, no, let's look what Imam At-Tirmidhi said. It has been stated by more than one person from the people of knowledge regarding this hadith, and about the like of it from the narrations concerning the attributes, and that Allah Ta'ala, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, descends to the lowest heaven of this world every night. They said, affirm the narration concerning them. Have iman in them. Have faith in them. Do not imagine them. لا يتوهموا. This is the problem with these people. They say, if you're saying Allah has hands in the literal sense, then you mean the limb. What does Imam At-Tirmidhi say? Don't imagine them. Just like you don't imagine a picture of Allah's that, when Allah says He is a that, His essence. We don't picture a body. No. In the same way, when Allah says He has two hands, we don't picture anything, don't imagine anything. He continues, do not imagine them, nor ask how they are, وَلَا يُقَالُوا كَيْفَ. And don't ask how. How can Allah descend when He's above the seven heavens? You're not allowed to ask how. The likes of this, look what he says, the likes of this have been reported, Imam At-Tirmidhi continues, from Malik ibn Anas, Imam Malik, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Abdullah and Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak. He quotes his own salaf They said concerning these ahadith, leave them as they are without asking how. وَمَرُّوهَا بِلَا كَيْفِ. Leave them without asking how. This is a statement of the people of knowledge from Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah. This is a statement of the people of knowledge from Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah. But then, listen carefully. As for the Jahmiyyah, then they reject these narrations and they say that this is tashbih or resemblance. So anyone who says that, who are their salaf? As I quote one famous da'i who says in one of his talks, that the Jahmiyyah, the salaf, he says, that the salaf, they differ. Some of them made tafweel and some of them made ta'weel. Some of them relegated the meaning to Allah and some of them made ta'weel, or they interpreted, figuratively explained Allah's attributes and names. Who are the ones that do this? Who are his salaf? Imam al-Tirmidhi tells us, as for the Jahmiyyah, then they reject these narrations and say this is a resemblance. However, Allah the Most High has affirmed in various places in His book the attribute of al-yad, as-sam, al-basar, the hand, the hearing, the seeing. But the Jahmiyyah give a figurative interpretation, a ta'weel. Who gives ta'weel? The Jahmiyyah. This is the salaf of this individual, he said that. To these verses and explain it in a manner other than how it is explained by the people of knowledge. They say, the Jahmiyyah, indeed Allah did not create Adam with his hand. They say, listen carefully, what did the Jahmiyyah say? They say, the hand of Allah actually means his power. His power. This is the statement of the Jahmiyyah. Imam al-Tirmidhi says this. Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, now he quotes his salaf again. He quotes, Imam al-Tirmidhi continues, Ishaq ibn Ibrahim said, tashbih, resemblance. If when someone says, the hand of Allah is like my hand, or his hearing is like my hearing. So if someone says this, then this is resemblance. But if someone says what Allah says, hand, hearing, seeing, and he does not ask how these attributes are, nor does he say that Allah's hearing is like my hearing, then this is not tashbih, it's not resemblance. Rather, it is just what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said in his book, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like him, and he is the author, the all-seer. Those of you who wish to check this narration, you can look at Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Everyone agrees he wrote Sunan al-Tirmidhi. 3/266 to 268. So I think this makes it abundantly clear as to the position of the salaf with regard to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's names and attributes. There's no need and no room for tahreem, distortion, no room for ta'atil, negation or denial rather, no room for tamthil, likening Allah to His creation, and no room for tashbih or takyif. Tashbih meaning resemblance, and takyif asking how or stating how. I ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to allow us to affirm His attributes just the way the salaf of this ummah affirmed them, and I ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to give us the benefits of the attributes. Just as a final point, Jahm ibn Safwan, the originator of the Jahmiyyah, and I started off right at the beginning, I said, why do we defend the aqidah of the salaf? And why do we defend the aqidah of the salaf with regard to Allah's names and attributes? And this statement that I'm going to bring, I urge you to listen to carefully. One of the salaf went to the funeral of Jahm ibn Safwan. And then he came back, went to his janazah. And when he came back, the other salaf, they said to him, Why did you go to his funeral? He replied by saying, I went to his funeral and this was the most sincere funeral I had prayed in my life. The Salah was founded. So he said, I made a very sincere dua. I made dua, O Allah. He rejected, he denied that the believers will see your face yawm al-qiyamah. So veil him from your face yawm al-qiyamah. O Allah. He denied, and he mentioned the whole list of attributes. He denied that you can speak, so do not speak to him yawm al-qiyamah. And incorporated in this, and listed a whole lot of other attributes, such as mercy. That when someone denied that Allah has mercy, this is what it meant to the Salaf. Then do not show him mercy, yawm al-qiyamah. Because what these Ash'aris, some of them say, that Allah's mercy is not mercy in the literal sense. Mercy just means saving the person from the hellfire and putting him into paradise. That's their definition of the word mercy. Because they say that creation shows mercy. That, therefore, Allah can't remember his creation, so therefore Allah can't show mercy. Some of them say this. Often, do you take the attribute of rahmah literally for Allah? In the same way, when they deny that Allah loves, it's al-wudud, the one who loves. They deny Allah's love for them. Why? Because they can't understand. They think it's a weakness. Man loves. So therefore, you can't say Allah loves. We refer them to our statement that we made near the beginning of these lectures. And that is that Allah's attributes are perfect, just like his names. They have no deficiency in them whatsoever, no defect. If they think there's a deficiency, the deficiency is in their understanding. Let them absolve themselves from kayfiyya, from how. And let them absolve themselves from tashbih, making a resemblance. Because what they're running away from is what they're running to. They think they're absorbing Allah from resembling, but they're the ones resembling in the first place. Because they forget, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's nothing like Allah. So when Allah says he has two hands, his two hands are nothing like the two hands of man. When Allah says he loves, his love is nothing like our love. His ghadab, مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. His anger is not a weakness, an attribute of deficiency, the way our anger may be an attribute of deficiency. No. Allah's attributes are perfect. They do not resemble the creation in any form or fashion. Just like Allah lives, and man lives, but Allah's living is perfect, and man's living is absolutely limited. Allah lives, there is nothing before him. He's al-awwal. There is nothing after him. He's al-akhir. He will not be preceded by non-existence. He will not be followed by non-existence or death. But man was preceded by non-existence, and man will follow, after man will come death. Likewise, Allah doesn't need anything to sustain him, to keep him alive. Subhanallah amma yushrikun. But man needs things, nutrition and so on, air, to sustain him. So the way Allah lives is different to the way man lives. So when you deny that Allah loves, you're denying Allah's love for yourself. When you deny that Allah shows mercy, you are denying that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will show mercy to you. When you deny Allah speaks, you are denying that Allah will speak to you on the Qiyamah. If you know something good, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will, or powerful, but Allah will not look at the Muqbil Yawm al-Qiyamah. Or Allah will not speak to the Muqbil Yawm al-Qiyamah. It's one of the two, I can't remember exactly. In either case, if you're saying Allah doesn't see, or He doesn't speak, is there something good when Allah doesn't speak to you, Yawm al-Qiyamah? When Allah does not see you, Yawm al-Qiyamah, look at you, Yawm al-Qiyamah? Subhanallah amma yushrikun. How free is Allah from what they associate as partners with Him? So let them know that Allah speaks in a way that befits His majesty. And all of Allah's attributes, we affirm them without denying anything from them. We do not make tahrif, distortion of Allah's names and attributes, claiming that we're making ta'wil. We do not make ta'wil, negating Allah's or denying Allah's attributes by word or meaning, claiming we're making ta'wil. And even if they were, that's too long. And neither do we make takyif or ask or specify how. And finally, we do not make tamthil or tashbih, resembling or likening Allah to His creation. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ. And to Allah belong the most beautiful names. So invoke Him and supplicate to Him by them, and leave those who make ilhad or deviate with respect to His names. سَيُجْزَوْنَ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. They will indeed